got so many attacking flair players. You want to see end to end, almost a bit like the Gaelic you watch. It's not really like that, you know.
You've got to score because you know that they're going to.
For the best Euro 2020 coverage, subscribe now to the OTB Football Podcast and download the OTB Sports app.
The OTB Podcast Network with GetsetGo. Quick start car insurance that's ready when you are. Sort your policy anytime online at GetsetGo.ie.
Football on Off the Ball.
With Paddy Power's Save Our Game. England's goals total 40k so far for Irish football. Gamble responsibly. GamblingCare.ie.
Now you're welcome back. So after 9.5 years with Dundalk, Chris Shields has called it a day. 349 appearances. He's moving to Linfield. Very happy to say Chris is with us. Hi, Chris.
How you doing?
Great to have you with us. So a tough decision, I'm sure. You could sense a lot of love for Dundalk in your farewell message. There were several great lines. I especially liked you saying, "Don't let your kids climb all over my statue at Oriel. It's a mark of respect. It's not an effing jungle gym." And also, you knew you'd be fine in Dundalk when you realised it was mainly pubs, takeaways and coffee shops. It was always going to be a match made in heaven.
Yeah, well, you have to have these little special corners of each town for you to make you stay so long, and the fantastic eateries, the great boozers and the ever more so popping up coffee shops kept me there a long time, and that was a nice way to put it in my own words, say goodbye to the club I loved for near on a decade.
The love was clearly mutual. We have a clip. I don't know how well this is going to work on radio, frankly, but the scenes of your farewell, I suppose, with flares and fans on the streets, 349 appearances in. We'll try and play a bit. If people are watching, they'll be able to see it. I mean, it was like a scene out of Istanbul or something. So we'll just play it now. And if you're listening, you mightn't pick a huge amount up from this, but it was, I can't remember scenes like it really in Irish football. Have a look. Yeah, not your usual goodbye. I presume you'd been told to go outside and see what was going on, or was that a total surprise when you got out there?
I'd heard England that they were going to line the streets, and when I was going to drive home, they were going to do something, but nobody knew it. I didn't have a car at Oriel because myself and my wife were staying in the hotel for the night. So I was gifted this giant frame by the team. I had no boot to put it in, so I had to give that to somebody else to take for me. Then I had a lot of media stuff to do, and then I got a word saying, "Look, there's people outside. We'll go down the laneway where you usually enter Oriel." And sure, I was very well taken back when I walked out and seen the reception I got, the sign, the flares, the effort people had gone to this day after the game. It was well after 10 o'clock, and even my man dad stood around for it as well. So it was, wow. It was a very, very nice send-off. And like you said, I've not seen one in League of Ireland like that before.
No. There was an initial moment where you walked out and you weren't quite sure what to do, and then you said, "All right, sod this, I might as well pose in front of it," and hands outstretched. And I didn't know what you meant to do.
I didn't know what to do, so I just started waving to people like I was the Pope. I didn't know what to do. I couldn't go around shaking people's hands given the pandemic. So I said, "Look, give me the flare and we may get a good few pictures out of this anyway to look back on."
Did you have a sense? I mean, you must have, but did you have a sense that you were very well regarded amongst the fans and much loved anyway?
I had a sense in a way that I could get away with what I was saying in my own statement, but the sheer volume of messages I got through Twitter, Instagram, all social media outlets, you know, myself, my wife barely talked for 2 days because we were too busy scrolling through our phones to see. It was nearly an unreadable amount of messages I got to keep up with. My ma got the same because she's made a lot of friends and her phone was pinging more than she probably liked. But it was a breathtaking kind of reaction to something that it could have went down poorly, but seeing the reaction now, it went down well, and it was probably the perfect way to leave nearly.
So tell us about the decision to leave then, because that's not easy, clearly, if you're leaving that network behind and your family clearly enjoyed as well. What was the thinking?
Surely family. I've 2 young kids now. I've a 2.5-year-old and a 12-week-old son. And I suppose, like, I've been doing it years. I'm living in Bangor since 2016, and that's when the height of the success really kicked in. And people don't really see me getting up at 3 or 4 in the morning to travel to Dublin to go to any of the European trips. Is usually an extra day for myself, because I might have to stay down the night before, or the 15, 16 hour days I do to even just Sligo away. It just, I thought it would, as a father, I just thought it'd be nicer to be home, closer to home, and be there for my wife and my kids now.
Okay. So is it that your wife is from Northern Ireland? That's why you're living up there, kind of thing?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. She's from Bangor, and it was always easier for me to commute.
Okay. So that's a trek. That takes a toll. And that's the logic, really. It's as simple as that.
Yeah, it is. It was no easy decision, but it was just the kind of decision of maturity. And I just thought, look, this is the best thing for my family. We don't have a plethora of relatives up here. It's myself, my wife, and my two in-laws. The rest of our families are scattered everywhere. My own are in Dublin. I'd say to people, obviously, my ma would, at the drop of a hat, come up if I needed her, but it's not feasible. We've a very, very little community of support, and her parents are great, to be fair.
Mm. It was an amazing ride at Dundalk, to say the least. When you first pitched up in 2012, you didn't settle perfectly originally, and then I think there were even some trials in the UK, and Stephen Kenny comes on board, and he likes the cut of your jib and brings you back in. And, you know, that was almost the key moment, I suppose, for you and Dundalk, Kenny's arrival and him saying, we can do something here, come aboard.
That was it, yeah. I almost got relegated my first year. Luckily, we stayed up in the playoff against Waterford. And in saying that, had we went down, Kenny wouldn't have took over and all this wouldn't have happened. So the win in Waterford that night to stay in the league was the kickstart of the Kenny era. And sure, from then on, it was a whirlwind, roller coaster, whatever you want to say, you know, almost near perfection in the League of Ireland terms, and then across Europe as well. And Stephen had that effect on my career and a lot of people's in that dressing room's career as well.
What did he do for you personally?
I am asked that a lot, and it is really hard to say, to pinpoint, look, Stephen did this. It was just more his man management than the installing the confidence, where you may have not had that before from a different manager. He'd make you feel 10 foot tall. He always had a great backroom staff with him. You know, himself and Vinny worked wonderfully for seven, eight years that Stephen was in charge. And it probably does come down to his man management. It makes you feel 10 foot tall that you wouldn't have felt before. And if you feel like that, you do play like that.
And when you say he makes you feel 10 foot tall, so, I mean, is he grabbing you by the collar and saying, Chris, you're the best, you're the greatest, no one can touch you, you know, like Mourinho at Lampard naked in the showers that time, you know, you're the greatest thing you've ever seen? Or is it in more subtle ways that he makes you feel good about yourself? Give us a sense of how he operates when you say man management from your perspective, say. I know you can't speak for everyone.
For me, like, I always noticed we weren't naked in the showers for starters, but he knew he could grab somebody and tell them they're the best in the world, and that would work for that person.
Okay.
Whereas that mightn't have worked for me. I might got a rocket up the hole, and I'd be like, he'd know I'd go out and prove, out of spite, I'd go out and play well to prove him wrong.
Right.
Stuff like that.
And were you the spiteful type who needed the rocket?
Oh, yeah. Always was. I'd rather be... I do most things in life with a hint of spite. That's my best attribute.
So he cottoned on to that pretty quickly, and he didn't let you get too ahead of yourself. Always kept you a little bit wanting to get some approval.
Exactly. If he felt I was getting ahead of myself in any way, he'd bring you right down to earth. Mm. And he thought there was a small group of us he could do that. And then there was ones like Gano that he would tap on cotton wool and tell him he's everything under the sun.
I mean, geez, you've reached such a brilliant level personally as well, and even in the European Games pretty recently, late last year, you were putting in exceptional performances. Is it fair to say, and by all means shoot me down with spite if this is wrong, is it fair to say that you've improved as a player over the years and continue to get better? That'd be a sense I have. It mightn't be a fair one.
No, it's a fair assessment. I think that myself as well. Me, as I got older, I don't know what it was, whether my game matured or whatever, but I always seemed to handle bigger situations and games better, and that makes you come up as a better player. And you said, some of my best performances personally, I would say, have come in the European games, let alone the group games, which is something I'm probably very proud of looking back on my time at Dundalk. And people would always say you did. We always thought you were going to slow down at a certain point, but and they just kept excelling somehow. And just hope it continues. I'll be playing until I'm 65.
Well, even in the European games, quality on the ball was there, but your reading of the game, I mean, you seem to just be anticipating passes and nipping in at various points. And again, that should be a more difficult thing to do at a higher level, I would think. You're playing against more intelligent players, and clearly you seem to hit that plane or hit that wavelength and excel at it for whatever reason. It's a nice quality to have.
Yeah, it was good, and it kind of just came with experience because we were so used to having the ball here domestically. When we went to Europe, it was a different story altogether. So you had to be very patient, and picking your times was right, and that kind of came into your game. And I always say I learned by doing, by the amount of games I played. I gathered a wealth of experience as well as playing with great players and learning off the ones like Rory Higgins and Stevie O'Donnell were always great players to learn off and take their traits, make them your traits, and you'll be a better player for it.
The recent decline at Dundalk, can you put your finger on that, aside from the obvious Stephen went, and so he's a serious departure and a tough man to place, like to replace? The last couple of years can't have been fun when you had reached such heights.
It is a really difficult one to say, because I wouldn't put it down to Stephen, because in Vinny's first year, he came two penalty kicks away from perfection as a manager. We were two penalty kicks winning from a clean sweep of five trophies.
Yeah,
that was without myself and Patrick McElhenney playing in the showpiece Irish football. It just seems to be since, obviously not blaming that, but since COVID, there was just stuff went wrong and it just kept going wrong. Last year wasn't a great year, but what we did probably papered over a lot of cracks, i.e. getting into Europe and winning the cup.
Yeah,
and obviously this year didn't start off poorly. It continued poorly. We were very inconsistent, and now by the looks of it, Vinny's come in and he's steadied the ship. And unfortunately, that would be probably what we'd be wanting from this season, is steadying the ship and taking a game about whether and having any actual goals at the minute.
And like, do you have misgivings over the ownership or the way the club has been run since Stephen departed?
It's hard to say. Obviously, I'd imagine contract talks could have went better given the players that we've lost, like Gannon, Sean Hall were huge at the start of the year.
Right.
But then some people just might have personal preferences and fancy change, and it just all came together at a bad timing for Dundalk.
Mm. Does that make it easier for you to leave? I'm sure Vinnie Perth would love for you to have stayed. Might have been harder to leave in 2016 than it is now, or were you going regardless?
This move was always on the horizon.
Right.
I know David Healy, he lives in the same town as me, and I always knew I would play up here eventually.
Okay.
It was still very, very hard to leave because I'm so fond of Dundalk. It's all I've known for near 10 years. Vinny coming back, you know, the deal was done before Vinny came back, but I probably still would have wanted to go. The timing suited all parties. Look, I get a full season with Linfield, which is my preference, rather than coming in January and scrambling together half a season. Dundalk, I've got a small fee, whatever it was. It's better than nothing for a 30-year-old, and I'm playing closer to home and kind of excited for a new challenge. Like, it's like somebody getting a new job. I've not had that for 10 years, so it's quite an exciting time as well.
Yeah. First day at the new job. Have to sing a song in the dressing room. All that stuff.
Yeah, see, I've never ever had to do that because I was at Brave for years and I was young, and then I was there before anyone else at Dundalk. So I think I'll have to do that on my European trip. So I get brushing up on the plane.
What do you know of the football up north then? Will it be radically different, pretty similar?
I know a lot. It was probably a league I watch more than any, just given the location, from knowing players within the league. It just kind of piqued me interest. I'd go to the odd game when I could before COVID. So I'm not coming in blind. You know, Linfield's a huge club that demands success, so it's no real change and demands on me club-wise. And it's probably just take it as it comes now. There's going to be a demand for success and I'm happy to meet it. Football-wise, it's It might be a bit different, but things are improving in the league. I think the Irish league is in its strongest it has been in a long, long time. I remember having a chat with John Gailey on its Warren Point, and we discussed it the day he moved as well. So it's in a very good place at the minute.
Yeah. The League of Ireland, so when you said the Irish league, are you talking League of Ireland there or up north?
The Irish league, yeah. The league up here, yeah.
Yeah. League of Ireland seems to be in a good place as well. It can be hard to tell sometimes. There's often a story, you know, players not getting paid or like floodlights fail, and it makes, you know, the national media jump onto it, and it's, oh, this is the league and all its failings laid bare kind of a moment. But I would say anytime I'm watching games, it's become quite a technical league. I think it's a good watch. Shamrock Rovers are doing great things. You see like the quality of goals St. Pat scored just the other week, and it goes viral on Twitter, and those moments happen more and more. But you're living it, you're breathing it, you have a sense for how it feels now as opposed to 10 years ago. So in your view, in your experience, where is the League of Ireland, say, now as you depart in comparison with the start of your career?
It's in a better place. Like you say, technically, it's come on leaps and bounds. You've named three or four great footballing teams. What we did, what ourselves did in Europe the first time round, was done off the back of good football. Mm. No disrespect to the great Bowes team of 2007, 2008, and Rovers of 2011. But I think the team like Shamrock Rovers now, than rather than old, it's a better technical and better footballing side now. And you see it right throughout the league. The introduction of the 13s, 15s, 17s and 19s national leagues to do with the clubs, I think, is only going to improve the grassroots level. You'll see more and more young players coming through the league like they are now, like the young Kenny up front versus Sligo. It's a long time since a kid of that age doing what he's doing, so that's great to see. Stevie's bringing in some young players at Pats. We're starting to do it at Dundalk, which wouldn't have got a chance because of the how high we were kind of flying at the time.
Yeah,
and I think when you start seeing youth coming through and shining, it that kind of shows you what good a place the league is in, especially even at the likes of Bowes. I'd say my favourite player in the league at the minute is young Ross Tierney, and I like seeing boys like that doing well.
And is it a more stable source of employment for players? Like, do you feel you can come in and clubs are being run well, and, you know, stories which we've seen over the years of crisis here or crisis there are hopefully largely behind us, or is it still a rocky road in that respect? Money's always going to be tight, I accept that, so I'm not saying, you know, there's going to be billionaire benefactors taking over type thing, but just in terms of a good professional league where someone like you looks at it and says, this is a really good viable career for me, I can get a mortgage here playing and, you know, plan a life over the next 10 years.
Yeah, well, that's it has been for me. I've never had any other job. You look at it now, I think it maybe 7 out of the 10 teams in the Premier Division are full time. Mm. You see more and more two and a half, 3 year deals given out. Like, so Derry gave one to Jamie McGonigal yesterday, 3.5 year deal. There was a period there when I was playing maybe from 2012 to about 2015, maybe 16. We weren't really seeing a lot of 2 and 3 year deals handed out, and things have steadily progressed in each club, and they must be being running well if clubs are able to start doing that.
Yeah, which is great. And like, between Brexit and everything else, the clubs are really going to have to develop young talent. Do you have faith that the academies at 13s, 15s, 17s are in a position to do that and well-resourced enough to do that?
I would hope so. I don't know personally what resources each clubs have, but I think it's a great feat to have in each club's hands now. If they recognise a good player, it is going to be harder for them to get across to England, and it is going to be a benefit of your club to bring them through, get them into the first team, and then clubs would be more likely to, if it comes to it, buy them, and it makes money for the club and keeps things healthy. I always revert back to the national team. How often do we have so many League of Ireland graduates starting, or at least in the squad? Mm. It's always been the backbone of a lot of Martin O'Neill's and now Stephen and Mick McCarthy and now Stephen's squad. So it's good to see, and the evidence is there.
What are your favourite high points with Dundalk? What are the memories you'll cherish when you're an old man in 30, 40 years sitting down, boring the grandkids with your heroic stories of old?
I'm an old man now. I actually am quite lucky that I'm spoiled for choice. I always have a personal favourite of the equaliser on Alkmaar because of the camera angle, because of the everything going against us, down to 10 men, scoring in the 90th minute, having 9 minutes at a time and just defending our goal line and the box for 9 minutes is up there. But it's also hard to look past Bate and Tala.
Yeah.
Just everyone dancing in the rain and just making history for, like, and it was just one of the best nights of my career. Just everything, one of them nights where everything just goes right.
Yeah. There was such a sense of camaraderie off that team as well. I can only imagine the dressing room after, for instance, the late equaliser and defending for your lives for 9 minutes.
Ah, brilliant. It was brilliant because we had so, it's such a good, like you said, good team spirit, and we were really, really good friends. But I've never seen a bigger bubble burst than us getting the equaliser and Martin Connolly coming in telling us, yeah, get on the bus, lads. We're driving to Belgium to get the flight home straight after. And there was, trust me, there was no beers and no party. And it was just kind of like, well, that was good crack. Now let's drive to Belgium.
Have we time for a shower?
Yeah, just about. Sure. O'Donnell thought we conceded too. He heard the roar when we equalised after being sent off and didn't know we equalised until he got word in.
Okay, so he's had his hands in the dressing room.
Exactly.
I also read at the time, especially, you know, when things were going well, that Dundalk really pushed the limits and standards when it came to fitness. You might talk to us about that. Was that true? Was that kind of a thing you just put out there? And, you know, when a team is winning, everything looks like it's good. Are we genuinely really pushing standards in those terms as well, fitness?
I think we were one of the first ones to really set the standard for fitness. But unfortunately, everyone just started to catch up because it's only so high you can hit.
Yes.
But you had to have the players there that want to do it. And that was a massive part of our group, that everyone wanted to be as fit. And we used to say we had games won in the tunnel at times because players, you'd be lined up and just look at you and you'd be in great shape. You'd be chest out and you just feel $1 million. And that would win half of the game. So it was just, that's how we felt at a certain point in 15, 16, definitely.
And was that like a mandatory thing, as in you will be here at 8 a.m. for a fitness session, we'll do a pitch session and then more fitness sessions, and your presence is not optional? Or was it like just you started doing it together and pushed each other on, and it was almost a more informal thing?
No, so that's the thing. We trained in the evenings all through the Europa League. We were still in the evenings. There were still lads working. We didn't go fully professional until 2008.
Wow.
18 maybe.
That's extraordinary. So, I just assumed you were all there 9 a.m. bright and early, breakfast served.
Not at all, no. So there was a group, there was a split group. So lads who lived in Dundalk that I was part of, and I lived in a house of 4 and 5. And we'd all go to the gym together during the day. It used to be like doing the same thing every day. You'd get up, you get your breakfast, whatever. You go to the gym, go for a coffee, come back up to train and home and rest and repeat. And this was the same with the lads in Dublin. And it was just like a non-stop winning mentality that a few people compared us to. We were like the Dublin of League of Ireland football at the time.
Mm. Wow, amazing. God, to think what you achieved in those circumstances, that's absolutely exceptional. Well, listen, we'll keep an eye out. Any kids, like you say in your statement, no climbing over your statue at Oriel. When's the unveiling, by the way?
Soon, I'd hope, because I don't have all day. I'm busy up here now. I mean, Saturdays are match days, and don't want people climbing on that statue, because poor Noelie will have to come out and polish it.
Well, 349 appearances and a truckload of medals and European appearances as well, as you would have seen yourself after your last game. You'll be sorely missed. Very best of luck. You're far from done yet at Linfield. We'll talk to you in another 8.5, 9 years and see how it's gone there. Chris Shields, thanks so much. Appreciate it.
No worries. Thanks very much.
Football on Off the Ball.
With Paddy Power's Save Our Game. England's goals total 40k so far for Irish football. Gamble responsibly. Gamblingcare.ie.
The OTB Podcast Network with Get Set Go. Quick Start Car Insurance that's ready when you are. Sort your policy anytime online at getsetgo.ie.